That's it. Our Christmas cards are ready to go.
Not quite, actually.
Don't these people see enough pictures of us on Facebook?
And this is the last of the cookies.
Did you remember the vegan ones for your sister and her family?
No.
Don't forget, Mom's keto now.
Right.
I think little sister's old enough to start hosting next year.
All right, what do you think?
Everything looks great, honey. And I'll have to hand wash all of it later. Great.
Now, what was inside all of this and who was it to?
All right, I think we're done.
No, babe, it's crooked right there. Fix it. Right there.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Since you're gonna be up there anyway.
Right. The kids are out of the house now, so why are we still doing this?
Looks right. Great, hon.
Yeah, there you go.
Where's the Jesus?
I don't know. I think we lost him.
Hold on. Good enough, right?
Let's just
get through Christmas.
Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving. Can I still say that? Or have we all moved on? We've all moved on. How many people have already decorated? Yes, yes, yes. What's wrong with the rest of you all? Is that what today's plan is? Okay, well, good. Well, we are happy that you're here, and we hope and pray that it was a great Thanksgiving. For those of you, this will either invoke fear and anxiety, or for the children in the room, it'll evoke hope and excitement. There's only 24 sleeps left, so just note that until Christmas, so that's exciting. My name is Andrew Beard. I'm an associate pastor here on staff, and I work with our college ministry, and it's a joy to always be in here when I have the opportunity. Good news and bad news. Good news is Matt will be in here next week. He'll be back with y'all. He's been off and away. The bad news is he'll take you all the way up till 10:30 or later starting next week. So sorry, this is your last week of getting out just a few minutes early. Well, this past week, Sarah and my family, my two sons, we journeyed up to St. Louis, Missouri for Thanksgiving, and we left in the evening time. It was really nice. Got in the car. About 30 minutes into the drive, the boys, our two boys, are just cashed out in the back seat. I mean, they're just sleeping, loving life, and my wife and I are getting that coveted time where it's just the two of us, getting to have those late-night conversations. You've maybe had those experiences, how wonderful they are. And as we're drawing near to the beautiful town of Durant, Oklahoma, which I'm sure is a lovely part of the state, but what happened next did not make me feel fondly about it. As I'm pulling into Durant, Oklahoma, all of a sudden, police lights kick on right behind me. Now, this maybe would not be a big deal for y'all, but the last time that I had a run-in with police was actually on Thanksgiving break 15 years ago when I was driving to see my parents, and that one ended with a written warning about indecent exposure. So I was hoping not to repeat a similar situation, and that's another story for another day. So as I am seeing the police lights turn on and I'm having flashbacks to my previous experience, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what in the world? So I pull over the car and we sit there. We sit there for an incredibly long period of time. In fact, so long that another cop car pulls up and journeys with the police officer to the car with him. And in fact, I hear them talking, do we need more backup? Okay, this is the kind of situation we're in. He gets to the car and he starts with the usual question, do you know why I stopped you? In which I say, no. He says, you were speeding? And I say, I didn't know. He says, whose car is this? I said, this is mine. He said, I need your license and registration. So I give him my license, my insurance, the whole deal. And he says, "Did you know this car has been reported stolen?" In which I say, "Wait, what?" I'm like shocked. And of course, while this is happening, the other police officers walking around the car shining the flashlight in on my children who are sleeping and looking through everything. And I'm trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, this is what he thinks is going on. He thinks that this car that is speeding in the middle of the night with children in the back is like some incredible thing that he has intervened in. I mean, he thinks he's going to be police officer of the year. He stopped Grand Theft Auto. He stopped an Amber Alert before it went out. I mean, he probably kidnapped the woman as well. In fact, he likely is on his way to rob the casino. I mean, he thinks he has hit the mother load, and this is a story that he's going to get to tell. So he takes all my information and he leaves, and my wife's Sarah's like, this is a joke, right? It's a joke, right? Like, this is a joke. He's going to say, you know, happy holidays. Like, what is going on? He comes back a few minutes later, and he's like, my fault. I input the wrong license plate. Your car's not stolen. In which I'm thinking, of course it's not stolen. It's my car. So he says to me, he says, well, good news. Your car's not stolen. And of course, obviously, that's good news. Good news, my children have not been kidnapped. That's good news. Bad news is you're still speeding. So that still happened. And in this last ditch effort, he turns to me and he says, now what do you do for a living? And I think this is it. This is like my chance, right? So I dig deep, like holy, righteous, humbly, like dig deep. In fact, I almost dig deep enough to pull out a 20. I mean, that's like how deep I'm digging, you know? And I say, I am a pastor. And he says, well, here's your ticket, pastor. You can pay by check or mail or online, and that's how we can take care of it. So here's the deal. I was not what he expected when he first pulled up on the scene. And as well, that was not how I expected to start the holidays. I expected it to start very, very differently. We are sometimes people that when the unexpected comes towards us, we don't know how to handle it. We don't think that things are going to go the certain way. And in fact, when the unexpected happens, sometimes there are bumps in the road that cause us to think, why is this happening? What is going on? I don't know how to handle this situation. But yet, here is where I am. Things are often quite different than we expected them to be. In 1982, a movie came out called Blade Runner, and in fact, Blade Runner, even though it came out in 1982, takes place in November 2019. When they came out with the movie Blade Runner, they were trying to project and expect what future and fashion and all sorts of things would look like. And so when you watch that movie, you'll realize that everyone's wearing like weird trench coats and bizarre outfits and weird glasses and all sorts of other bizarre things that are not what we're wearing in 2019. In fact, if you fast forward and look, what fashion are we wearing in 2019? There's no way they would have known in 1982 that we'd actually just be re-wearing what is worn in 1989. I mean, really, we were wearing future clothes now, but future for 7 years from then. In fact, I'm going to show you a picture, and this is a picture of my brothers and I, and you're not going to know whether this was taken last week or in 1989. I mean, you can't tell the difference. You don't know whether this was last week. I mean, same one. Was this last week or was this in 1989? It's hard to tell. The fashion is the exact same. And I look literally the exact same. Okay. So things don't always go as we expected. Sometimes they're very different and we don't know how to handle that. When you get your driver's license, you have this idea that suddenly you're going to have freedom. And then the unexpected happens and you realize you're really just running errands for your parents and paying for gas. Things aren't always what we expected. When you go to college, you think, all the freedom that I get to have. And then you realize the unexpected is, I have to wash my sheets. Like the unexpected comes our way, and we didn't see it coming. First real job. And when you hear that what you're going to get paid in your first real job, and then you get your first paycheck, and you're realizing half of it went to taxes and insurance and my rent, and it went to my Uber bill and my favor bill. I mean, like, it's not what I expected. I thought this was going to go a lot further. Becoming an adult. Man, sometimes when you think about what it'll be like when I become an adult is going to be incredible. And then you realize it's mostly like losing weight and paying bills. I mean, that's like trying to lose weight, trying to pay bills. I mean, blind dates. When we go on blind dates, we think what we're going to get is one thing, and then we see the power of filters, and we realize things are not what we expected. Maybe this past week, you had hopes and dreams about what this past week would be, and as you look back, it was not what you expected it to be, was it? Sometimes when we get married, we think it's all going to be a honeymoon. It's going to be great all the time. And then you realize it's commitment and consistency and conversations. It's not what you expected. And kids, man, you hope and pray and want kids. And Sarah and I tried to have kids and hoped for kids for 7.5 years. And somehow I can single-handedly both love them and want to love them. You know, I mean... Sometimes things are not what they expected them to be. So what do we do with this? How do we find ourselves in constant states of being hit with the unexpected and not be frustrated or disappointed all the time? How do we handle that? How do we not give up? The Hebrew people were people that were waiting for a Savior. They were hoping and praying for God to step into creation. The long-awaited Savior, they'd waited for generations and generations and generations. They thought this person, this king who would step into creation, that would be born as a king, this long-expected Savior and Messiah, would be a warrior who would free the oppressed, who a mighty king who would take down the government, a mighty king who would set the captives free, who would cast out sin. That is what they expected. And in our scripture this morning, in Luke 7:34, this is how it describes Jesus. Luke 7:34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors. Now, I don't mean to sound scandalous when I read this scripture, but rarely, I mean, maybe never, no, definitely never, does the Old Testament prophesy about the coming Savior as a glutton or as a drunk or one who dines with the least of these. Well, at the same time, in the scriptures, this is what we have. This is what they see when they see Jesus. Now, I should state, just so we're clear, Jesus is not a glutton. Jesus is not a drunk, but he does spend so much of his mealtime with outcasts, with the marginalized, with those who were pushed to the sides, that this is what they saw. This is what they interpret him as. This is how they describe him. The religious elites, the uppity-up, the fancy-smancy, sometimes people that are like you and like me, when they looked at Jesus and they saw him dining with these individuals, this is what he saw. And this caused for them lots of frustration, lots of disappointment. In fact, there's no way that that person could be the Savior of the world. There's no way that that person could be the Son of God. There's no way that that person could be the Messiah. Now, imagine if you use those same descriptors for Jesus today and you describe that to somebody. You're like, so there's this guy... He may or may not be homeless. He eats and drinks a lot with prostitutes. He's a carpenter, but like nobody's really ever seen anything he's made. I mean, if you told that to somebody, they'd be like, I totally went to high school with that dude. I mean, that is how we would see Jesus. There's no way that you would expect that that same person is the Son of God. That he was the long-expected Savior of the world. See, when Jesus was presented, it was not how they expected. The religious elite and even Jesus' own friends didn't see this. They were not quite sure about him. They thought, there's no way that this guy's the Messiah. He's nothing like what we expected. But do you see the difference here? This is the beauty of this. It's the ones that dismissed it and wrote him off missed it entirely. But the ones who were along for the ride to see how God worked, they had a front row seat to the miracles of Jesus. we are always going to be overwhelmed with things that are not quite like what we expected. But the ones who dismiss it will miss it. And the ones that see how God is working will see the movement of God. For those that threw in the towel, they missed the blessing. For those that threw in the towel, they missed seeing God in the flesh and understanding who he was. I mean, isn't this true for so many of us, or for so many areas of our life? When we give up on the hard things, when we give up on our marriage, when we give up on our kids, when we give up on the calling that we feel like God has put in our life, when we give up on the relationship, when we give up on the fight against addiction, when we give up on our education because, well, those things weren't going as expected, I hate to tell you, that is life. Things will never go like you expect them to go. Nothing goes as expected, but that doesn't mean you quit. That doesn't mean you give up. See, this is the truth, and people don't like this. Giving up is easy. Working through the unexpected is hard. And guess what? Rarely are things that are easily done as good, worthwhile, or meaningful as the things that are hard and are challenging. But the persistence to stick with the unexpected, see, that is where the blessing is realized. That is where the blessing is realized. I mean, you know this, when you invest money or resources, when you work out, when you are building something, when you're traveling, when you're studying, on and on and on. There are tons of different examples we can find when we look at our lives. When we stick with those things, even when they're hard, even when the unexpected challenges come them way that make it difficult to do those things, they still pay out in huge dividends. When we quit, we miss out on what is coming. It's hard to stick with those things when they're unexpected. It's hard to stick with those things when they become difficult. So how do we stick with it? How do we persist in among the unexpected things that come our way? How do we not quit? It's simple. It's hope. In the book of Romans, Paul is writing to the Christians in the city of Rome who are trying to understand life and faith. They're trying to understand what it means to follow after Christ. They're trying to understand how they manage the unexpected difficulties and challenges that come their way. They're trying to understand how they don't give up when things overwhelm them. So Paul says in Romans 8:24, he says this to them. He says, for in hope we were saved. In hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen, that's not hope. If you know how it's going to work out, that's not hope. If you can see the future, that's not hope. Hope is not seen. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Every day, patiently hoping, patiently waiting, knowing unexpected things are coming our way, we stick with it. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. When things are so difficult, we know that God is with us. In fact, the Spirit of God is praying on our behalf. We're not journeying this road alone. When you think that your life and your family is too difficult because unexpected things are happening, when you feel like your job or your life is falling apart, when you think that I cannot make this through this holiday season, it's too much, the Spirit of God is with you, giving you hope. Verse 27, and God, who searches the heart, searches my heart, searches your heart, and knows us intimately, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We're not on this journey alone. And then it says in verse 28, We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. See, the unexpected things are going to come our way. And too many of us want to throw in the towel when the unexpected happens because this wasn't what I set out to experience. This wasn't how this was supposed to happen. I can't do this any longer. But Paul says so clearly, it's hope. When you hope that God is working things for good, when you hope and believe that the Spirit is working, when you hope and believe in things that are beyond you, these days are tolerable. These days are manageable. And not only that, God is going to work them for good. Hope. Hope is the key. Hope is what we need. So how do we manage the unexpected? We manage it with hope. Hope things don't stay that way. Hope things get better. Hope that this isn't the end. Hope in what isn't seen. How do we stay the course when our prayers seem to fall on deaf ears with no change, when it seems like things are not going anywhere? Well, Scripture says the Spirit of God is with us. In our darkest, most difficult times, when we are out of words and prayers, the Spirit is with us. The Spirit of God is working in us and through us and knows us and gives us hope and renews the hope that we have that is waning. So how do we not give up? We remember that God works for good. That doesn't mean everything will work out. That doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. That doesn't mean that I'll get my way, but that God is working things for good. I mean, this is God making beauty from ashes. There are a lot of situations in life where things are not going as you expected them, but do not miss God in the unexpected. That same person who is described in the Scriptures as a gluttonous, drunken rebel who dined with the least of these, well, that guy was the unexpected Savior, the long-expected Savior. He was the one that they were waiting for. He's the one that you and I are waiting for. He did step into creation, born as a king. He did defeat sin and death. He did free the oppressed. He did set the captives free. He was and is the mighty king who will reign forever and ever, but they missed it because it wasn't what they expected. In a weird way, they were right. He wasn't what they expected. He was so much more. But they gave up before they understood. They gave up before they saw, before they experienced. How about you? What are you wanting to give up on today? Your marriage? Your kids? Your hopes? Your dreams? The Christmas list? Your sobriety? Your calling? Your education? What is it that you're teetering with the idea of giving up on? Because it's not going how you expected. That's not the reason to give up hope. That's the reason to stay the course, to stick with it, to have eyes on the future. C.S. Lewis, who's one of the greatest authors and theologians of our modern time, wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and one of his great, incredible works called Mere Christianity said this. He said, "Hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, some sort of form of escapism or wishful thinking. But one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." Are we people that are looking forward with hope? This Christmas season, you will, be inundated with the unexpected. Trust me, as sure as they will show It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve, the unexpected will come your way. But that doesn't mean we give up hope. That doesn't mean we throw in the towel on Christmas, because Christmas can't be quit. Christmas is Christ stepping into creation, bringing light and life to all creation. So don't let the unexpected make you quit. Stay with it and see how God moves within the unexpected. See how God moves within Christmas. And it all starts with hope. As we come to the table today to share in communion, as this is the first Sunday of Advent, in fact, this is the Sunday of hope, let us remember that the same Jesus who ate with the least of these is with us today. The same unexpected Savior who had hope for us is here with us today. So you, each of you, come to the table with hope. Hope that God is working. Hope that your story is not over yet. Hope that there is room for you. Hope that reminds you that God is working for good. So when you come to the table, remember, you're coming to the table to commune with the hope-filled, gluttonous rebel. And stick with him. Even amidst the unexpected and challenges that come this season, I promise, when you stick with him, you will get a front seat to the miracles of God in the midst of the unexpected. Let us pray. God, I pray that we can be people that are consumed by hope. That God, when things come our way that are not like we thought they would be, when the unexpected happens, God, we don't throw in the towel and give up, but we realize you are journeying with us. So God, in this Christmas season, we sometimes get overwhelmed and knocked down and beat up. God, let us know that you are still working for good. And that is the most important. God, bless this time. Bless our lives. Bless this week. And bless this season, and let it be saturated with hope. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.